full of his is more pronounced than ever. I nervously glance around the room and watch each of them connect the dots. Chelsea's face lights up. Emily waves her finger in the air, back and forth between AJ and me. Sydney lets out a fake-sounding gasp. AJ steps off the stage and sits next to me, wrapping his hand around the back of my neck.
"They know,"
he whispers in my ear. "You think?" I laugh into his shoulder.
"Sorry, that was lame."
"It wasn't lame, it was perfect."
"You're not angry, are you?"
"Of course not." I give him a quick kiss, and we're surrounded by the sounds of whistles and woots. Then it gets awkward. Everyone starts shuffling around, gathering bags and notebooks, heading for the door.
"Wait."
AJ stands and addresses the room.
"Did everyone read?"
"Everyone but Caroline," I say, gesturing toward her. But I'm not sure AJ hears me. He's already lifting his key out from under his shirt and heading to the back to unlock the bolt. She shakes her head, silently telling me it's okay. She didn't plan to read anyway. All nine of us quietly climb the stairs, cross the stage, and file out the theater door. Everyone says their goodbyes and heads off in groups in separate directions, but AJ and I hang back. I wrap my arms around his neck and look up at him, feeling euphoric, buoyant, like we're back in the pool, floating, kissing, talking, laughing, just us, alone, together. We're no longer a secret. It feels incredible. "Do you want to ride home?" I ask, winding my fingers into his hair. "You could watch me pull out of your driveway and wonder if I'm devising a plan to sneak into your bedroom."
"Would you be?"
He brings his hands to my waist. "Absolutely," I say. I'm not sure where all this confidence is coming from, but it feels right.
"Then yes."
He unzips my swim parka all the way to the bottom this time, and when he wraps his arms around my back, he pulls me into him harder than he did before. He kisses me harder too, and I tighten my grip on the back of his neck, thinking about how much I want this kiss to go on and on. I can't imagine driving him home and saying goodnight. "You know what?" I whisper. My voice is shaking, and it's not from the cold. "I think we forgot to turn the lamps off."
"Did we?"
he asks between kisses. "Yeah."
I didn't forget,"
he says, and I can feel him smiling. I smile back. Neither did I. As much as I've thought about sex, I've always had pretty low expectations about my first time. I know it will be awkward, and there will be that whole struggling with the condom moment, and when it's all over we'll get dressed side by side and won't have a clue what to say to each other. I pictured my first time as something I'll have to do to get it over with. So far, this is nothing like that. AJ kisses my forehead.
"Stop thinking,"
he whispers. "I'm not." "But of course I am. I'm always thinking."
"Yes, you are. Your forehead is all crunched up."
He kisses my forehead again, and I feel the muscles relax.
"We don't have to do this, Sam."
We're lying on the orange couch with a blanket beneath us, our clothes in a haphazard pile on the floor. He's already passed that condom thing with flying colors. I want to do this. We're practically already doing this. "It's okay. I'm just really nervous."
"I know,"
he says.
"Me too."
"You?" I stare at him in disbelief. "Why are you nervous? You've done this before."
"Never with you."
I take his face in my hands and kiss him, closing my eyes, letting his touch clear my mind, following his lead. I force myself to think about nothing but him, to concentrate on what he's doing, and after a while it becomes easier to let go. His kisses trail down my collarbone, over my chest, across my stomach, each one sending chills through my entire body. When he finally brings his mouth back to mine, I kiss him, trying to lose myself the same way I did in the pool that night. Our hips are pressed together, and I can't believe how incredible it feels to be this close to him. I didn't expect so much talking, but he checks in a lot, and I like how the sound of his voice keeps me present, bringing me back to him if I start to drift away.
Are you okay?
He asks. I slide my thumb over his bottom lip. Yeah, I'm a lot better than okay.
I don't want to hurt you.
You're not. You're amazing.
I'm not sure about you, but I think I like whatever this is.
I smile. Me too. He interlaces his fingers with mine, and I'm surprised that such a simple thing can make me feel even more connected to him. Afterward, we lie there for a long time, face to face, talking and laughing, and wondering if we're the first ones to lock ourselves inside the room this way. I don't know, I say jokingly as I play with his fingers. I think you've dramatically overstepped your role as keymaster.
I blame the couch, he says. I told you it was inspirational.
That cracks me up. I don't think I'll ever be able to look at it the same way again.
Yeah, he says, crinkling his nose. They probably wouldn't want it back in the prop room now.
No, I say, laughing harder. I can't imagine they would. I kiss him, feeling completely alive and totally normal, saner than I've ever felt before. And now I can't wait to walk through the halls with AJ, holding his hand, kissing him goodbye between classes. I want to know him, really know him. And I want him to know me the same way. The few lamps we left on softly illuminate the walls, and I think about all the paper around us, all this love and pain and fear and hope. We're surrounded by words. Nothing about this moment could be more perfect, because I'm absolutely in love with this room and the people in it, on the wall and otherwise, and with this one boy in particular. Totally different person. I still have no idea where Caroline eats lunch. I asked her once and she said, places. And when I asked her if she eats alone, she said, sometimes. So I don't expect to see her in the cafeteria today. But I stop at the door and scan the entire room anyway. I haven't been able to find her, not even at her locker this morning. But I'm still buzzing over what happened with AJ last night. And I can barely stand to keep it to myself another second. I have to tell Caroline first. I wouldn't have known him or any of the poets if it weren't for her. Where is she? The eights are already sitting at our usual table, Alexis and Caitlin on one side, Olivia and Haley on the other. Olivia moves over to make room for me at the end of the bench. Dieting? She asks as I slide in next to her. I'm confused until she points to the empty spot in front of me. Where's your lunch? I'm not very hungry, I say, but that's not entirely true. I'm too excited and nervous and elated, too everything to eat right now. So what are we doing tonight? Olivia asks. I haven't heard about any parties or anything. I know, it's too quiet, Caitlin says. She takes a sip of her soda. Hey, I have an idea. Alexis rests her elbows on the table and looks at each of us. My parents are going out. Come over to my house. You guys haven't all spent the night in ages. I catch Haley raise her eyebrows as she takes a big bite of salad. I'm in, Olivia says. Caitlin follows her with a ditto, and Haley says, sure, why not? Then there's silence. They're all looking at me. I wasn't expecting to find a perfect opening quite so quickly, but here it is. I dig my fingernails into the back of my neck 3 times and take a deep breath. I can't tonight. I have other plans. Alexis doesn't even try to hide the surprise in her voice. Really? Hot date? She asks jokingly as she sips from her bottled water. Actually, yes. Now I have their full attention. Caitlin pushes her soda away, Olivia returns her sandwich to her plate, and Haley's jaw drops along with her chip bag. With? Alexis's eyes are wide as she asks. I run my thumbs along the edge of the bench 3 times. AJ Olson. Caitlin starts laughing, and at the same time Alexis asks, who? Everyone else looks at her and nods like they're wondering the same thing.
Wait, Olivia says. I know him. He's in my English class.
She looks at me.
I mean, I don't know him or anything. He never says much, but I know who he is.
You're serious? Caitlin looks at me. She's still laughing. You're going out with Andrew Olsen? You're kidding.
She slaps her hand on the table, cracking up at her own joke.
No way.
She looks around the table, but I keep my eyes fixed on her. My hands ball up into fists by my sides.
You guys remember Andrew from elementary school?
When they shake their heads, she sings that fucking Chia Pet jingle again, and then elbows Alexis.
You remember that kid, don't you? He stuttered so badly he couldn't even say his own name.
Caitlin, stop, now. Alexis says it like she's scolding her. I've never heard her speak to Caitlin that way. I've never heard anyone speak to Caitlin that way. I wish I'd been the one to call her out, but I'm too stunned to say anything. Still, I have to speak. It's my job to defend him. I can't just sit there and let her mock him.
I
choke on my words.
See? It's contagious.
Caitlin starts cracking up again, but stops when she realizes everyone's staring at her, and none of them are joining in.
Oh, lighten up. That was funny.
After a deep breath, I press my palms into the table and lean forward, closing in on her. My voice is shaking.
We were horrible to him, Caitlin. We teased him so much he switched schools.
Oh, so you're pity dating him? I look at her soda. I consider throwing it at her. I am not pity dating him, I say, picturing AJ on stage in Poet's Corner, guitar swung over his shoulder, singing some line that makes my heart race and my whole body melt. I think about what happened last night, the way he looked at me before, during, and after. I'm in love with him. I just blurted it out. I can't believe I did. I look around the table watching for reactions, but they don't come. Not right away, at least. The four of them are dumbstruck.
You're in love with him? Do you even know him? Alexis finally asks.
Olivia jumps in before I can answer.
Wait, does he have anything to do with where you go during lunch?
Everything gets quiet again, and I watch my friends process Olivia's words, seeing their expressions change before my eyes as they clue into the fact that this thing with AJ tonight isn't simply a hot date or even a first date. It's probably one of many, and that I might have been serious when I said that thing I just said. We've been hanging out together for a few months now, first as friends and more recently as, well, more than that. They all look at each other, but none of them will look at me.
Well, this explains a lot, Alexis finally says. We've all been talking about how you seem so different lately, right?
She looks around the table, addressing them individually. Caitlin nods in agreement, Olivia too. Haley stares at her food.
You've been acting like a totally different person.
Or maybe it's that I'm not acting. Alexis reaches across the table and rests her hand on mine.
You've changed, Samantha, and I think I speak for all of us when I say that it's not for the better, sweetie.
Not for the better? How could they not see that I'm a better person? I told Shrink Sue I felt healthier, more in control of my emotions than I ever have. I'm no longer a slave to their words and actions, and that means there's something wrong with me?
We don't feel like we even know you anymore, Olivia adds.
You're right, I say quietly. You guys did know me, but I don't think you do anymore. Not really. I look around the table as I talk, realizing, maybe for the first time, that I don't know much about them either. The words are right on the tip of my tongue, and I start to tell them the truth. I need to get some distance from them. But then I take one look at Haley's face and think about what she said in the bathroom that day, about how she needed me and she didn't know what she'd do if I left like Sarah did. I can't say it.
Not today. I look right at Caitlin. You owe AJ an apology.
For what? Something I said when I was in fourth grade?
No, I say as I stand. For something you said 5 minutes ago. That cafeteria door seems like it's miles away, but I throw my shoulders back and march toward it, holding my head a little higher than it was when I walked in here. All About Me. I walk quickly to my locker, glad to be alone in the corridors and back in the fresh air. I'm not sure what made me head this direction. I was sort of on autopilot, but it turns out to be the right call. As I turn the corner, I let out a relieved sigh when I see Caroline working her combination lock with one hand and holding her backpack strap in the other. There you are. I've been looking for you all day. I rest my shoulder against a neighboring locker and come in close, keeping my voice low. I have so much to tell you. She continues loading books into her backpack, and I keep talking. I told the eights about AJ, and Caitlin made an insanely cruel comment I can't even repeat, but I totally stood up for him. I shake my hands out by my sides. I'm all jittery. Caroline zips her backpack and hoists it over her shoulder, and when she turns in my direction, I can see her t-shirt. Yes, it really is all about me. I know, she says. I was there. You were brilliant. What do you mean you were there? She couldn't have been. I didn't see her anywhere. I looked. Where were you? She rests her hand on one side of my face, close enough to hear everything. Then she steps away and tugs on her flannel shirt sleeve, looking at her beat-up watch. I have to go now. Go where? The bell doesn't ring for another 20 minutes. She stares at me with the strangest expression on her face. Wait, are you angry because I didn't tell them about you? I meant to, I will. I promise. No, I'm not mad. And please don't tell them about me. Ever. She leans in closer. But you should tell AJ. What? My phone chirps and I pull it out of my back pocket and read the message. How'd it go? Go ahead, she says, answer him. Caroline gestures with her chin to the phone. How did she know it was AJ? I give her a funny look and type back, really good, where are you? I press send, and when I look up, Caroline's gone. Caroline? I call out, but there's no response. I run to the edge of the locker bank and look down the corridor. Lunch is far from over, but it's starting to get a little more crowded out here. I walk down the path that leads to the student parking lot, and then double back to the one that leads to the front entrance. I don't see her anywhere. My phone chirps again. Downstairs, practicing. It looks like he's typing another message, so I don't reply right away. Playing at open mic tonight. I smile at the screen and type 3! I take another spin around campus, still looking for Caroline, and then start heading back toward my locker, typing as I go. I think about what I said to my friends today, what I blurted. Lots to tell you, smiley face. The first bell rings and the halls become more crowded. At my locker, I dial my combination and lift the latch, and then I peek at the far end of the row, hoping to see Caroline. I'm gathering my books for class when I feel hands sliding over my hips. Hey, AJ says. My first instinct is to check our surroundings to be sure we're alone, but then I realize I don't have to do that anymore. I recline into his chest, pull his arms even tighter around my waist, and kiss him, knowing that people might be walking by and watching us, but not caring at all.
I take it you told your friends about us?
He asks when we finally pull away. He's wearing a ski cap pushed back on his head, and his hair is poking out underneath. He looks adorable. The eights know, and everyone else. I crane my neck to see what's happening behind us. People are slowing their steps as they pass and whispering to each other. I'm guessing they'll know by the time the final bell rings.
Wow, that's an amazing picture of you, he says, bringing my attention back to my locker.
Thanks. I settle into his shoulder,
watching his expression change as he scans over everything. He smiles when he reads the little pink post-it. His eyes shine when he sees the picture of Cassidy and me, taken the day I broke her butterfly record. He's more straight-faced when he looks over photos of me and the rest of the aides.
"Wow, you've been to a lot of concerts," he says.
"After today, I'm pretty sure my collection won't be expanding."
"Is that one of my guitar picks?"
he asks. "Maybe." I smile.
"Rubber?"
I turn to face him and hook my fingers in the front belt loops of his jeans. "Hey, you didn't happen to see Caroline on your way over here, did you?" I gesture toward her locker. "I just had the strangest conversation with her."
"Caroline?"
"Yeah, it was weird. First she said she heard my discussion with my friends, but that's impossible. She was nowhere in sight. And then she said she had to go. And now I can't find her anywhere. Did she seem upset last night?" I ask. AJ's expression morphs from confusion to concern.
"What?"
"She was the only one who didn't read, but she never does. She didn't seem bothered by it or anything." The bell rings. AJ doesn't move away from me. There's no one around, but I lower my voice anyway. "I came clean to the aides. I thought that's what she wanted. She's the one who said I needed new friends and introduced me to all of you. She's the one who brought me down to Poets' Corner in the first place." I think about all the times Caroline listened to me read my poems and gave me words that she thought might help AJ see me in a different light, like my own personal Cyrano de Bergerac.
"Sam?"
"Yeah?"
"Who's Caroline?"
"Caroline." I say it with a laugh, but he doesn't join me. "Caroline, Caroline." It takes me a second to find her last name. I haven't thought about it since the first day of school. "Caroline Madsen." His eyes grow wider, and I watch the color totally drain from his face.
"What did you say?"
I feel the tug on my fingers as he starts to step away from me, and I release his belt loops, letting my hands fall to my sides. "I said Caroline Madsen, as in our friend Caroline. AJ, what's wrong?"
"Wait, did you just say that Caroline brought you downstairs?"
He doesn't stutter, but his voice shakes, and it scares me. "Of course," I say, trying to understand why he's asking. "She was with me that first day, remember?" I've thought about it a million times. I can picture it like it was yesterday. "You weren't going to let me stay, but then Caroline grabbed my arm and you changed your mind." He stares at me for the longest time. "She's the reason you let me stay," I repeat. But I can tell by the look on his face that maybe I'm wrong, so I add, "Wasn't she?"
"No."
His voice is so faint. He takes a real step backward this time. Now I'm frightened, and I don't know why, but I know I'm right to be. My heart starts racing, and I want to get out of here, bound for a dark, quiet room where I can catch my breath and think. But I don't leave without hearing whatever it is AJ's trying to tell me. He takes his cap off and combs his fingers through his hair.
"Sam, she wasn't the reason I let you into Poets' Corner that first day."
"Yes, she was."
"The first time you came downstairs, you were alone. I let you stay that day because you said you thought it might change your life, and I liked that."
I start to tell him that I didn't choose those words, Caroline did, but I keep my mouth shut because I have a feeling that isn't the right thing to say. I squeeze my eyes closed and cover my face. "No," I say, shaking my head hard. "She brought me there." I open my eyes and lock them on his. "How else would I have found that room?" His lips are pressed into a tight line. Then he says,
"I have no idea."
"I do. I found it because she brought me there." I say it with more force than I intend to. He stares at the ground for a long time, and finally he looks at me again.
"Do you know who Caroline Madsen is?"
"Of course I do. She's my friend. She might be my best friend."
"Sam."
I hear a strange hitch in his voice when he says my name.
"Caroline Madsen committed suicide in 2007.
I laugh. "Shut up," I say, but he doesn't look like he's joking.
So what, you're saying I've been talking to a ghost?
But as soon as the words leave my mouth, I know deep in my gut that's not right. Now he's taking even larger steps, backing away even faster, and his fingers are impossible to miss, flicking against the stitching on his jeans.
I have to get to class,
he says, and he's gone before I have a chance to tell him he's wrong. He has to be. She was just here 10 minutes ago. Wasn't she? I was standing here talking to her. Wasn't I? I slam my locker door and take off running for the parking lot. It takes two hands to start the car, one to bring the key to the ignition, and the other to hold it steady. The engine roars to life and I peel into the street, bound for the only place it occurs to me to go. Recent and raw. In the lobby, I press the button for the elevator 3 times, and when nothing happens, I press it again 3 more times. I slam my hand against the door, and the bell dings as the doors slide open. I press 7 3 times. I burst through the door, and Colleen jumps out of her chair.
Sam? I need to see Sue.
My voice doesn't even sound like mine, and my legs feel wobbly underneath me. I walk straight for her office and open the door. Colleen is right behind me.
Where is she?
I yell with my fingertips pressed into my temples. Colleen grabs my arms, pushes me into the chair, and crouches down in front of me. She's trying to pull my hands away from my face, but I won't let her. I'm crying hard and only half listening to what she's saying, but I hear hospital and won't be back today and call her. Then wait and water and don't move. When Colleen's gone, I slide my hands down to my cheeks and look around the room. 2 days ago, I sat here and told Sue I was better. I was better. I know I was. But then I remember Alexis's words. You've changed, and it's not for the better, sweetie. What's happening to me? I stand up fast and hurry for the door, into the elevator, back into my car. There's this spot on the top of the hill that looks down on the valley. It's where everyone goes to park and make out, and at this time of day it'll be deserted. My hands are tight on the wheel as I wind around the sharp twists and turns, climbing until the road dead ends. I park next to the big oak tree and cut the engine. AJ is wrong. He has to be. Caroline was there at every reading, during every lunch hour. She sat next to me. She met me in the theater. She read my earliest poems, told me I was good. She taught me how to let go and write what I felt, and gave me words when I couldn't find them myself. She helped me take the stage. She was one of the, how did I jokingly refer to it the other day? The Poetic Nine. Wasn't she? I pull my phone from the cup holder and find the most recent group text, the one AJ sent last night to call the Poets' Corner meeting. His name is right at the top. Next to it, 2 Sam and 6 more. I know her number won't be here, but I tap the word more to help me take inventory. Everyone is a jumble of unidentified phone numbers, and I assign each one a name as I count them. AJ, Cameron, Chelsea, Emily, Jessica, Abigail, Sydney. 7 total. Technology is a trap, Caroline had said, and I believed her. She never called me. She never texted me. I thought it was odd, but I never questioned it. My stomach rolls over, and my fingers are shaking so violently, I'm having a hard time holding the phone in my hands. I open the browser and type in Caroline Madsen 2007. And within seconds, the tiny screen is filled with links that lead to her story. Headline after headline reading, teen's death ruled a suicide, bullying to blame for local teen suicide, local high school devastated by suicide. The last one contains a picture, so I click through to the full story. Oh my God, I whisper. I remember reading this article, not last summer, but the summer before.
Cassidy had just come back from Southern California to spend the break with her dad. He bought a new house, and she was thrilled to finally have her own room when she came to visit. She'd heard a rumor that a girl had killed herself in the house years ago, and she asked me if I'd heard about it. I hadn't. Later that week, I went home with her after swim practice, and she gave me a tour. We sat in Cassidy's new room, did a quick internet search for local teen suicides, and didn't find much beyond this one case. We pulled up a bunch of articles, including this one. Now I'm looking at the story again, over a year later, this time on my phone. I scan it quickly for the salient points, and latch on to words and phrases like suicide, and target of bullying, and history of depression. But the tears are welling up in my eyes. Her parents were at a Christmas party, only a few houses away. While they were gone, Caroline Madsen threw back a bottle of sleeping pills and never woke up. Her mom and dad didn't realize what happened until the following morning. By the time I get to the quote from her mom, talking about her daughter's witty sense of humor and how she loved to write poetry, the words are so blurry I can't read anymore. Scrolling down to the photo, I find a girl who looks exactly like the Caroline I know. Hair slightly disheveled, no makeup. She's wearing a flannel unbuttoned over a t-shirt. I zoom in so I can read it. If you could read my mind, you wouldn't be smiling. I run my finger across the screen, laughing at the shirt and fighting back tears at the same time. I remember sitting in Cassidy's room, looking at this photo, skimming this article. We close the browser, sad for this girl we never knew, and I don't remember giving it another thought. Now, everything starts to fall into place. Caroline and I sat together in the theater one day, me complaining about my friends, her telling me I needed new ones. I confided in her about my OCD, and she told me about her struggles with depression. But Caroline never read on stage. She came to my house, but she always left before anyone got home. We wrote together in the theater, just the two of us, alone in the dark. She never minded being my secret. She never led me to Poet's Corner. She's not real. The words squeak out. The tears are falling freely now, and I toss my phone hard on the passenger seat, and it bounces onto the floor. I throw open the door, walk to the edge of the cliff, and stand there, looking out over the town. It's overcast and chilly, but the bite in the early December air feels good in my lungs. From up here I can see my house. AJ's is on the other side of town and harder to find, but I spot the dense cluster of trees that distinguish his neighborhood. Alexis's house is on a hill on the opposite side of the canyon, massive and easy to see. The swim club is easy to find, too, and from there I trace the route I've driven and walked plenty of times. Up the hill, round the hairpin turn, straight to the top, until I see Cassidy's dad's house. Caroline lived there. She died there. Depression, she'd told me the first time we sat together in the dark theater. Sometimes it feels like it's getting worse, not better. I walk over to the big oak tree and throw up in the dirt. And then I sit on the edge of the cliff, my knees to my chest, digging my nails into the back of my neck and scratching hard. I feel the sting on my skin, but I keep going, not bothering to wipe the tears as they stream down my cheeks, feeling empty and cold, mourning the loss of my best friend like it's recent and raw, as if she killed herself this afternoon, and not 8 years ago. I rock back and forth, scratching harder, crying and muttering, Caroline, under my breath, over and over again. Like the crazy person I now know I am. Kind of Twisted. Once the sun went down, the temperature started dropping fast. I'm not sure how long I've been out here, but my chest feels numb, my eyes are puffy, my face is sore, and there's dirt caked under my fingernails. I pull myself up off the ground and collapse in the driver's seat.
The car door has been open for hours, the dome light on the entire time, so I give the ignition a quick turn to be sure I didn't kill the battery. The engine starts right up. I crank the heat. My phone is on the floor next to the console. Texts and missed call messages fill the screen, and I scroll down, past countless pleas from my mom to call her right away. There are 3 missed calls from Shrink Sue, the last one only 20 minutes ago. I hit the call back button, and Sue picks up on the first ring. The tears start falling again when I hear her voice, and I squeak out a faint, "It's me." "Where are you?" she asks, panic in her voice like I've never heard. I tell her about the hill and give her the cross streets, and she tells me not to move, that she's on her way. I hang up the phone and stare at the clock on the dashboard. It's 7:12. Open mic. I'm supposed to be on my way to the city right now. I'm supposed to be watching my boyfriend play guitar on a real stage, and Caroline's supposed to be next to me cheering him on. Instead, I'm here in the dark, all cried out, waiting to be rescued. I hope AJ won't tell the poets. I'll never be able to face them again. I'll never be able to face him again. I picture the look on his face when he told me about Caroline. What a sharp contrast it was from the expression he wore just minutes earlier, as he stood there admiring the photo of me on the diving block. The me he thought he knew, next to the real me he was forced to see for the first time. Once he saw who I really am, he couldn't get away fast enough. I never wanted him to find out, and now he's gone. Headlights shine into the back window, and minutes later Shrink Sue's guiding me into a shiny black Benz and buckling the seatbelt around me. "Your parents are on their way to get your car," I hear her say. As Sue winds her way down the hill, I stare out the window, wondering where we're going and deciding I don't care. I feel heat on my face. My butt is getting hot from the seat warmer. I rest my forehead against the glass, close my eyes, and don't open them again until we're stopped in a driveway, waiting for a garage door to open. Sue pulls in and cuts the engine. She comes around to my side of the car and unbuckles the belt, helping me out as if I'm elderly and infirm, and leads me inside the same way. We arrive in a kitchen, and 2 girls stop what they're doing. They're a few years younger than me and a lot smaller, like Sue, tiny in every way. Same straight hair, same delicate features. They've grown up since they took those photographs that sit on Sue's desk, but I recognize them immediately. "Sam," she says gently, "these are my daughters, Beth and Julia." Their expressions are full of concern, but I guess I shouldn't expect anything else. I've been crying in the dirt for the last 5 hours, and they're just staring like they aren't sure what to make of me. But that doesn't surprise me either. Knowing Sue and her commitment to professional distance, I'm pretty sure she's never brought a patient into her house. "Julia, would you get us some tea, please?" Sue leads me out of the kitchen, past the living room, and through a set of double doors. This must be Sue's home office. It overlooks a perfectly manicured garden, set in a circle with a fountain at the center. It's softly lit, peaceful. I walk to the glass door. "This sure beats the view of the parking lot." "It's my favorite place." She's standing right behind me. "I sit right there," she says, pointing over my shoulder to an oversized metal chair with deep cushions and lots of throw pillows. "That's where I think, or meditate, or work on patient files. Unless it's raining, that's where you'll find me." We're both quiet for a long time. I can hear the sound of the fountain through the glass. It's soothing. "Are you still cold?" she asks. I shake my head. "Do you want to sit outside?" she asks. I nod. "Good." She steps forward and twists the lever on the French door and it swings open. "Let's talk out there until we can't take it." She grabs 2 blankets from a basket on the floor and wraps one around my shoulders. She tells me to sit in her favorite chair. Julia arrives holding a cast-iron teapot and 2 mugs. Sue thanks her and arranges everything on the table in front of us, pouring out a mug of steaming tea and handing it to me.
Sue settles into a spot on the couch and Julia leaves, closing the double doors behind her. You can talk whenever you're ready, Sam. I pull my knees to my chest and hold my mug in both hands, staring down into it, breathing in steam and inhaling the scent of flowers and citrus, thinking about everything that's happened since I sat in Sue's office 2 days ago. The PM Poets Corner meeting, AJ and me alone downstairs, telling the crazy eights about him. Caroline saying goodbye to me in her own way. Caroline. I'm surprised I have any tears left, but sure enough they start falling again. A tissue appears in front of me, as if by magic, and I dab my eyes and blow my nose. Shrinks in their tissues. What do you already know? I ask. That doesn't matter. I don't know anything unless I hear it from you. I understand her code. That means she's spoken with Colleen. I think about the urgent calls and texts from my mom and wonder if she called AJ looking for me. If she talked to him and he told her what happened today, Sue must have a pretty clear picture. You asked me to make one new friend, I say, staring into my mug. And I did. And I liked her a lot. But as it turns out, she's been dead for 8 years, which, as you might expect, can really hinder a friendship. I thought sarcasm would make me feel better, but it doesn't. I start crying even harder. Sue takes my cup out of my hands so I can pull myself together. I wipe my eyes and blow my nose while Sue tops off my mug. She trades my hot tea for a pile of snotty tissues and doesn't seem to care. Once I start talking, I can't stop. I've sworn to keep Poet's Corner a secret, but I can't keep it from Sue anymore. I describe that first day I ran into Caroline in the theater, how she settled in next to me, made me laugh, told me that she wanted to show me something that would change my whole life. Tell me exactly what happened, Sue says. Start at the beginning. Caroline told me to meet her on the stage next to the piano. I close my eyes and see the scene a bit differently, like I'm watching it from a bird's eye view. I waited for her, hiding on the other side of the curtain until I heard the group pass by. And then Caroline met you. She told me to follow her, and I did. We went down this narrow staircase and through the gray-painted halls. She told me where to turn, which doors to open. I picture the two of us rounding that final corner, just in time to see the door at the far end swinging shut. What is this place? I'd asked her when we were standing in front of it. She ignored my question and pointed to the doorknob. I'm going to be by your side the entire time, but this is all up to you from here. You have to do all the talking. My eyes spring open. It was me all along. I saw the doors in front of me closing. That's how I knew where to go. I turned the knobs, she never did. I saw the mop heads on the wall, swaying as if they'd just been moved. I found the hidden seam, the deadbolt. I followed them. Caroline didn't bring me downstairs. I can barely get the words out. Caroline didn't stand to the side and tell me to knock. I did that on my own. I heard her say it was up to me from that point on, but that wasn't exactly true. It was always up to me. I saw them walk across the stage that first day. See you Thursday, someone had said. I came back when I knew they'd be there again. I waited behind the curtain by the piano, and then I followed them. Oh my God, Sue, I followed them down there. I tell her about the first time I visited the room in the basement. AJ was really cold to me, I say, picturing the way he stared me down until Caroline grabbed my arm in solidarity. Only she didn't. I set my mug on the table and wrap the blanket around me tighter. Sue asks me what happened next, and I tell her about the time Caroline came to my house and we hung out in my room together. She told me AJ didn't hate me, but I'd hurt him, and he didn't know how to handle that. I suck in a breath, realizing that conversation never actually happened either. I knew what Caitlin and I had done. I didn't remember it consciously, but I knew all along.
I think about the poem Caroline helped me write, and how I used her words to ask him to forgive me. And he did. He let me stay. They all let me stay. I tell Sue about every interaction I had with Caroline and the rest of the poets, and how that room in the basement calmed my mind. There I learned how to write and let go, and speak up. I became one of them. Now I'm crying hard again, because despite all the incredible things that have happened over the last few months, I can't stop thinking about the one thing that's wrong with this whole picture. I made up a whole fucking person, Sue, I yell through tears. What kind of twisted mind makes up a whole person? You didn't make up a person, Sam. You made up a unique and wonderful person who was all the things you needed her to be. Funny and smart and kind. And again, Sue, not fucking real. She was real to you. Was. Of all those words, that's the one that stings the most. I miss her. Real or imaginary, I don't want her to be gone. What's happening to me? I ask. Sue scoots to the edge of the couch and sets her tea on the table. This isn't what you want to hear, Sam, but the truth is, I don't know. It might have to do with your medications, or chemical changes taking place in your brain, or a combination of the two. It could have nothing to do with any of those things. She's trying to keep her voice calm and level, but I can tell she's concerned. A lot more concerned than I want her to be. What's happening to you isn't consistent with OCD. Something else is going on, and I'm not sure what it is yet, but we're going to figure it out together, just like we always do. I pull the blanket over my head. I can't look at her. I don't want to listen to her either, but I need the information she's sharing in a way I can't ignore. Based on what you've told me tonight, I think Caroline becomes real to you in moments of extreme anxiety. The sound of her voice is soothing me, and I feel a deep sense of relief when she starts talking again. You met her on the first day of school. You were already highly anxious, but you became even more troubled about something Alexis said, and that might have sent your mind looking for a new way to cope. I pull the blanket off my head so I can see Sue's face. And it worked. So after that, she continues, Caroline came around when you needed her to. After your fights with the aides. When you were nervous about following a group of strangers down a dark, narrow staircase. When you had to read on stage for the first time. She was there today, after you told your friends about AJ, right? I mentally transport myself back to those moments, and then to all the others Sue didn't mention. Whenever I was upset about something and needed to write, Caroline would be right there waiting at her locker. We'd joke about it like it was a coincidence. Then we'd go to the theater together. Your mind found a solution. A pretty positive one, I might add. And the more it worked, the more real she became to you. Sue reaches for her tea and takes a sip, watching me over her mug like she's giving me time to let it all sink in. Has she been showing up a little less frequently? She asks. Now that I think about it, she hasn't been at her locker in the morning, not every day like she used to be. I never see her between classes. Over the past few weeks, I've really only seen her in Poet's Corner. It fits Sue's theory. I'm always anxious about going down there during lunch. I'm afraid the crazy eights are going to follow me and find out about that place. And I'll be the one who exposes the group and the room. It'll be my fault. I'm always a wreck until that door bolts closed. Then I start to relax. You read about a girl named Caroline over a year ago, and you thought you forgot all about her, but she stuck around in your subconscious. You gave her characteristics you have a hard time expressing, and she became that kind, caring voice you needed to hear. All this information is making me feel better, in the way concrete facts often do. That last bit even makes me feel a little relieved. Still, Sue's talking about this whole thing like it all makes perfect sense, like it's perfectly logical, but it doesn't, and it's not. This whole thing is completely insane. You can go ahead and say it, Sue. I'm crazy. She's quiet for a full minute,
staring into the fountain and trying, I assume, to figure out how to deliver this news. Crazy, she finally says, her eyes still fixed on the water. Do you know the dictionary's definition of crazy? I shake my head. It means both insane and a bit out of the ordinary. That's a pretty broad scope, don't you think? I nod. Crazy is such a subjective word. I'd never use it to label anyone, certainly not you. Look, your brain functions differently from other brains, Sam. And because of the way your brain works, you got to know this wonderful person named Caroline. No one else had that privilege. Like your patient Anthony, the guy who could hear colors. Exactly. But I was getting better, feeling normal. 2 days ago I wanted Sue to consider stepping down the meds and cutting back my therapy. Now that I'm having full conversations with imaginary people, I'm assuming the opposite is true. More meds, more therapy sessions. No more Caroline. We need to be sure Caroline's gone for good, right? I say, sad about the diagnosis, but proud to beat Sue to the shrink thing. Do you want her to go away? No. Caroline felt as real to me as everyone else in Poet's Corner. She's only been gone for a few hours, but I've never missed anyone more. The idea of never seeing her again makes my whole body feel hollow. Tears start sliding down my cheeks again. Remember Wednesday when you listed all the things that made AJ so incredible? Sue hands me another tissue. She's giving me that look, the piercing one that makes me feel like she can see right into my soul. Do the same for Caroline. Not the girl you learned about today, but the girl you've come to know over the last few months. Your friend, Caroline. My mind starts racing, and I feel that same sensation I do when I first step up on stage. My chest tightening, that uncomfortable tingling in my fingertips. Maybe that's why I close my eyes. I begin counting, starting with my thumb. She has this energy about her. I can't explain it, but it's kind of contagious. She listens to my poetry, even the really stupid stuff I should never share with anyone, and she never laughs at me. And she doesn't just listen to the words I write, she hears what I'm really trying to say, and helps me figure out how to express it. She seems to know when I need her. I open my eyes and bite my lip, because yeah, the reason that one's true is now pretty obvious. Sue brushes her fingers over her own eyelids, silently telling me to close mine again. I pick up where I left off, holding up my fifth finger. She's a little bit damaged, just like me. She doesn't give a shit what people think of her. I love how she doesn't wear makeup. I love her snarky t-shirts. I feel a smile spread across my face. She always makes me laugh, even when she isn't trying to. The tenth one pops to mind immediately, and I start to say it like it's no big deal, but I find myself choking on my words. That's nine, Sue says. Caroline told me to knock on that door. She never spoke for me, but she gave me the words to say. When AJ kicked me out of Poet's Corner, she told me to fight my way back down there again. When I was terrified to read on stage, she came up behind me, rested her hand on my shoulder and said, "Don't think, just go." And I did. She was always there, and yet she never was. She made me brave, I say. Sue reaches over and takes my hands, gripping them hard in hers. It strikes me how dainty but strong they are. Good. Here's what you do now. You take those parts of Caroline and honor the fact that they're part of you. You start being kind to yourself, making decisions that are best for you, not best for everyone else. You look around at the people in your life one by one, choosing to hold on to the ones who make you stronger and better, and letting go of the ones who don't. I think that's what Caroline wanted. She didn't make you brave, Sam. You did that all on your own. We sit there for a long time. I drink more tea. I listen to the water cycle through the fountain. She's not coming back, is she? I ask. I don't think you need her anymore, Sue says gently. If she shows up again, tell me, but don't panic. Let her do her job. She seems pretty good at it. She's not coming back. I keep thinking about Caroline and how she left today, and that leads me to a memory of AJ, and how he had to be the one to tell me that my new best friend had been dead for 8 years. I'm mortified. I didn't want him to find out, not now. Certainly not like this. I didn't want AJ to know about me, I say. Sue takes a sip of her tea. Are you sure about that? What do you mean? Caroline could have left at any time, in a number of ways. She could have told you exactly who she was in the privacy of your room. She could have disappeared without ever saying anything at all. But the way she left, the things she said... What's your point? You say you didn't want AJ to know about you, but if you think about it, a big part of you did. Do two things. I didn't wake up feeling brave on Saturday, and I don't feel brave on Sunday either. I feel sad and confused, scared and lonely, missing Caroline more than ever, and wishing everyone would just leave me alone. Paige keeps knocking on my door to see if I want ice cream, and I can hear Mom on the other side of the door, telling her to give me my space. It's good advice. I wish she'd take it herself, because she keeps checking on me, asking me if I want to talk, and I keep telling her I'm fine and sending her away. While I was rocking in the dirt last Friday evening, AJ came to my house looking for me. Instead, he found my mom. He told her what I'd said about Caroline and that he was worried about me. And she politely thanked him, hid her surprise that I'd never told him about my OCD, and protected my secret like she always has. Then she sent him away, asking him to leave me alone for a few days so I could figure things out. I'm sure he was relieved. Every time I think about that look on his face when he first heard me say Caroline Madsen's name, I want to be sick. To distract myself, I've been going through my poems, thinking about the ones Caroline helped me write. Not always, but sometimes, there was that moment at the end when we finished a piece and read it aloud, and the words were so perfect, so fitting, they gave me chills. I'd feel the urge to hug her, but I never did. And now I wonder what would have happened if I had. Would I have felt her the same way I felt her hand on my shoulder? Or would she have ghosted right through my arms, as my body discovered that my brain had been tricking me all along? I pick up my pen and tap it against my notebook, but I can't write a poem. Not now. I don't know what to say, not even to a blank sheet of paper that no one else will ever see. Besides, poetry isn't going to help me piece all these emotions I'm feeling into a cohesive solution I can wrap my brain around. I'm scared of my mind's power. I'm angry with Caroline for leaving. I'm confused about all her personality traits, struggling to make sense of the ones I fabricated and the ones that might have existed in a girl who committed suicide in 2007. I open my red notebook and label the left page, Caroline Madsen. I label the right page, My Caroline. And for the next 2 hours, I research everything I can find on the real one, listing it on the left and detailing everything I know to be true about the one I created on the right. When I'm done, I see the similarities, but I also spot distinct differences, and I realize that Sue was right. I took a face in a photo and gave her a lot of traits that deep down I wish I possessed. I bury my face in my pillow to block out the sunlight. I cry for a long time. And when I finally feel myself drifting off to sleep, I don't fight it. I hear a knock on my bedroom door. Sam, Mom says quietly. I'm sleeping, I yell. Sam, there's someone here to see you. I open my eyes and force myself to sit up. My room is dark. My t-shirt is tangled around me. My hair is matted against the side of my head, and I smell like sweat.
My notebook is still splayed open across my comforter, and I slam it closed as Mom opens the door and steps inside. "Please," I say, pointing dramatically at my face. "Tell him I don't want to see him right now."